Today we're looking in Revelation 2. So this morning we're going to talk about the crown of life. The crown of life. You know, if you think about a crown, I'm sure what's in your image is a big, mean-looking king, or any kind of king, sitting on a throne with this golden, jagged, something like that, but not quite, but sort of, that golden, jagged, you know, a crown on their head, and filled with jewels and gems, and it's actually a symbol of their power, their authority, their royalty, their wealth, their dominion. It's a symbol of their position in life. And that is what we think of typically when we think of a crown. And in the Old Testament, there are two words for crown. One is that, what you were just thinking about, is that crown that a king wears when he subdues nations and he takes over and he places the crown on his head to symbolize he's in control. But there's another crown, Nazir, and it's a crown that is spoken of, as we see here, of the Lord. It's the first crown we actually see in the Bible is in Exodus, where the Lord dictates to Moses how he wants a crown made for the high priest Aaron and his sons. And this crown would be worn by them when they would serve in the tabernacle. And it was a crown that he has placed on him to separate Aaron from the rest of the nation as a high priest. And on this crown, stamped into the gold, engraved, was holiness to the Lord. And they would wear that when they served the Lord to remember that they are set apart unto the Lord. And that's what Nazir means, to be set apart. And so when they would serve, they would always remember, I am to be holy as the Lord is holy, and I am set apart for this position. And then we see in the New Testament, there's actually two words for crown as well. One is diadem, and that's what a king wears when he, again, is symbolizing his strength and his power and reign. But there's another crown that is actually the word in what we're going to read, this passage in Revelation 2, and the word is Stephanos. And it's the word that actually is when you receive an achievement. It's placed on your head. And it comes from the Greek Olympiads, you know, the pan-Hellenistic games, where when they would win in a race or some sort of athletic achievement, they would be placed this crown on their head, this Stephanos, and it would symbolize that they beat the competition. They won. It would be woven with various kinds of leaves, bay leaves, olives, all kinds of things, but it would symbolize that they won. They beat everyone else, and they accomplished something, you know? In this life, we all kind of wear our own Stephanoses, don't we? In a sense. We don't necessarily wear them, but if you've played in sports and have won a trophy, that's your Stephanos. Look what I have achieved, you know? We see in the college tournament, finally we see the outcome of the last two, and who do you think is going to win, UNC or Gonzaga? Or Gonzaga. You say Gonzaga or I say Gonzaga. But who do you think is going to win? You don't care either way? I don't really care either, but anyway. But one of them is going to win that trophy, okay, of the tournament. You know, right now, much to the begrudging of some of us, New England is sitting there with the Lombardi Trophy. Hopefully it won't stay there next year, and if you're not a New England fan, I don't know. But they deserved it this year, sorry. But there's that trophy, that symbol, and you know, it gets moved around in some professional sports. The Stanley Cup, you only keep it for a while, and then you lose it to someone else who beats you. In this life, sometimes the things we strive for are temporary, aren't they? We lose them, you know. Perhaps there's been other type of achievements or Stephanoses that you've received. Maybe you've received awards, like a plaque for top sales or a plaque for whatever, something that you've accomplished. You know, that's something that we strive for. It's your crown, in a sense. You may not wear it, but it's an accomplishment. Well, back for a minute to things, achievements that we wear. We think sometimes about how our military, when they serve us in combat, there's a picture of a guy that Jake actually met. He is a war hero. He is a Vietnam vet. This was years after that, but years before now, obviously. That was when he was younger. But look at all those awards on him. He was wounded 7 times in active duty. I don't know how they keep just letting them back off the helicopter after that. You know, it's like, go back out there. One of these days you're not coming back, but you're crazy enough to go. Go again. And this guy was just such an, you know, wore all kinds of medals. And look at all that, you know. And these are accomplishments that he won because he served in the military, because he put his life on the line, in a sense. What we're going to read about here today is that the Lord wants to give us a Stephanos, a crown of achievement, an achievement for living his life on earth in the midst of a battle, in the midst of tribulation or pressure. Let's face it, all of us undergo pressure in this world, don't we? Some of you right now are saying, you have no idea the amount of pressure I'm under right now. That's what tribulation is. It's pressure, downward pressure. Some of you might feel elated. You know, that's awesome. But we know in this world, whatever achievements that we've sang about will pass away. But the Lord, what the Lord adorns you with in the eternal realms is forever. And he wants to give us a crown, an achievement, a crown of life, his life, a crown that says, you lived my life when you were set in those circumstances that seemed unbearable. I promise you, I will always give you the ability to stand up from under that pressure and move on and continue and have victory in the midst of it. He promises us that crown of life, doesn't he? When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 and 25, we see this verse. He says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. You know, everything you do for the Lord, he will remember. He will remember. It will never be forgotten. Isn't that awesome about him? So let's dig in. You ready? Paul is writing to the church of Smyrna. The word Smyrna means myrrh. And what we're going to see, I know you said, I thought we were going to start reading. We are in a second. But so Paul is telling the church of Smyrna, you are going to be under a lot of pressure. Just get prepared. But it's only for a time and season. And if you should die, don't worry about it. Okay? You're only falling asleep. I mean, how would you like that warning? Okay? But don't worry about it. Because there's something laid up for you that's so much greater. The word Smyrna means myrrh. And we know that Jesus, when he was a baby, the wise men brought him myrrh as if a prophecy that this baby was born for one reason, to die for mankind. He did other awesome things on the way, proving what it looks like to live in the spirit when you're in skin. But his purpose was to die for mankind. And then, of course, he was wrapped in myrrh when they wrapped him up. You know, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus wrapped him in myrrh. And that's what Smyrna means. Even though they're in the midst of rich, like a happening town, really happening, you know, and there was wealth everywhere, they were treated despicably as Christians. And so let's read verse 8. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna, these things says the first and the last who was dead and came to life. I know your works. You know, he says that to all seven of the churches. If you know Revelation, you know that he wasn't thrilled about some of the churches, right? He had his issues with a lot of the churches. But to all of them, he says, I know your works. He recognizes everything that's done for him. And it's recorded for eternity. He never forgets it. Isn't that amazing about him? If you could put those two verses up on the screen that reflect this. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. He will never forget what you've done for him. Never. When you say, well, he has a good memory. What about all the bad stuff? What will happen when I get to heaven and he remembers all of the bad things? Hebrews 8:12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, says the Lord, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. You know, we will be judged in heaven too, but judged only for your good works. And I don't know what that will look like. I don't know how it will all shake out, you know, but I know we will be judged according to our good works. But all of us have nothing to fear once we enter into eternity with Christ. We will never be judged for the bad things we've done. They're all wiped clean. In fact, they're wiped clean now. If we walk in forgiveness, you know how much more forgiving we will be to others? If we walk in forgiveness, do you know how much more victorious we would be every time the enemy comes against us and starts reminding us, throwing those fiery darts, you did this, you did that, you did the other thing. Wait a minute, you're talking to a forgiven saint here. You have nothing to say to me because I have an advocate who is already defending me. Talk to my lawyer, you know? He'll handle this, right? And so we see this, that he remembers all of your good works, but chooses to remember your sins no more. Does he remember them? I'm sure if he wants to, but he will remember them no more. He will bring them to his memory and judge you according to them no more, because we are forgiven. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. And these are the legalistic Pharisees who are also causing them all kinds of confusion. Like, you can't say you follow God. You need to follow all these festivals and the law of Moses. Confusing them. Wait a minute, I thought all I need is Jesus. Have you ever done that? Have you ever been saved and suddenly you've been introduced to legalism after you're saved? And all of a sudden there's all these other things. I'm like, well, wait a minute, whoa. Like, I thought I was so happy before I spoke to you. Because I thought I was set free. You know, free indeed. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. What happened to that? Now I have all these things I have to do, you know? Because that's what legalism does. It reshackles you now with law. And so the synagogue of Satan was following them around saying, you're really not quite right yet. You have to follow these other things. And you know, there's Christianity denominations that include law with salvation. And that's why it's so confusing. It's like, wait a minute, I felt so good right until you came to that part. Now I'm confused. You know, I thought it was what Jesus did on the cross. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. We see here the devil is about to throw you into prison. You know, when things come against you, it's always the devil. It is. It's always the devil. Some people assign sickness. Some people assign tribulation to God, like he's done this to me. It's not him who is doing it to you. It's the devil. It's always the devil. Now, he has full sovereignty, so he permits it. Well, what's the difference? I think there's a difference. There really is. Because he permits things to come against you because he knows in faith what the outcome will be. You will be purified in the fire. You will be purified under great pressure. How are diamonds? How are diamonds made? Underneath the earth. Hundreds of miles or whatever how many feet they are underneath there, and they're under tremendous pressure and heat in the core of the earth, And they work their way up through this to the surface of the earth, and they're diamonds by the time they get to the top because of all the pressure and the heat. You know, the Lord allows things into your life because he knows when you come out what you will be like, more like him. And believe me, when we get to heaven, that's all we're going to care about. Man, you look like more like, look at Shay, you are Jesus looking to me, you know? I mean, you look so much more pure than I, you know, but it won't matter. It won't be in this competition, but it will be so like, this is all we care about. And we're going to look back someday and say, I can't believe I traded such silly things for being Jesus in heaven, just like him. Wow. It's like, it's nothing down here compares to our future in Jesus. Amen. I mean, it's so awesome to think that, you know, what we're going to be like someday. Now we only see a little glimpse here and there. Wow, you look like Jesus today, Tyler. Wow, the way you're, man, you are just on today, you know? That's just glimpses. But someday we're going to be like, wow, this is, wow. No more bondage, no more tears, nothing clinging to me that the enemy was constantly hurling upon me. But it's always Satan. Remember even when Paul said, you know, so that I would not get too confident in the revelations that the Lord has shown me, Satan came and gave me a thorn in my side. Who gave it? A messenger from Satan. It wasn't even God then. But the Lord permitted it because he said, my grace is sufficient for you. You know, he always knows the outcome. And he wants you to receive that full blooming crown of life. And so he says, I will give you a crown of life. Be faithful until death. You know, when I was reading this, I started getting very studying martyrdom, you know? And sometimes we think of it as a thing of the past, you know, something that used to happen. Do you know, in 2016, 90,000 saints lost their lives for their faith in Christ. 90,000. That's one every 5.83 minutes a believer is dying. Since we started, 10 believers have already lost their life because of their faith in Christ. By the end of this service, who knows, 9? I mean, I'm sorry, there's already been 10, probably 13, 14 believers losing their life nowadays. You know, persecution is more now than it's ever been. I mean, I just, when I think of that, it really is heavy. Do you know what I mean? To think that, like, our brothers and sisters, eternally connected with them, are dying in the name of Christ. You know, that's the body of Christ they're killing. That's us they're killing. You know, and I just think of martyrdom, you know, and when we look at the 12 disciples, how all of them but John were martyred of all different ways. You know, John, we talked about last week, he was boiled in oil. And somehow he was delivered from that. And there he is living on Patmos. He's an old man and they still have him mining. They still have him doing hard work. And yet he survived. I mean, some of these amazing saints went through. James was beheaded by Herod. You know, James, John's brother. Peter, you know, was crucified upside down. Matthew was beheaded in Ethiopia. Paul was beheaded. James, the one who wrote the book of James, the half-brother of Jesus, was led to the top of the temple, 200 feet up, where Jesus was probably enticed by Satan. Go ahead, throw yourself off. The angels will catch you. And the Lord said, don't tempt the Lord. But they took his brother up to the top and threw him off 200 feet. And he survived. So they beat him to death. You know? These are our brothers and sisters. Nathanael was whipped so much he was basically filleted, they said. Andrew was crucified on a cross shaped like an X. And for 2 days, he preached on the cross as he survived until he finally died. Thomas was speared in India. Matthias stoned and then beheaded. I mean, these are all those who saw Jesus and said, no, I know it's worth it. I know I have a crown of life waiting for me. While John was writing this letter, during this time, there was a bishop in Antioch named Ignatius. And Ignatius was just on fire for the Lord. And he wrote to all the churches, preparing them, because he knew, he had heard, and he felt the pressure that he knew his time was coming to an end. And so when he would finish his letters, he'd say farewell. And so finally, they led him through Ephesus, which he called the highway of martyrdom. And they led him to Rome, where he was devoured by lions. And then his protege, Polycarp, who was actually the bishop of Smyrna, and he was the bishop, probably not yet when John wrote this letter, but he was in charge of the churches in Smyrna, right? And so when he wrote this letter, he was probably in his late 20s, but soon he would become the bishop of Smyrna. And eventually, the pressure was coming down upon him as well. And they were catching everybody around him. And so he finally hid because they convinced him, no, don't give yourself up yet. So he was hiding. And he had a dream that his pillow was on fire. And he woke up in the morning, he says, I'm going to be burned to death. I'm going to be burned alive. And so with that, two young people, they captured, tortured them. And they finally said, yeah, Polycarp is down the street in that house. So they came and got him. And they took him. And as they brought him, they said, we're going to burn you alive. And he already knew that. And he said this. They were, you know, all they had to do, you think, well, it's too late. It's not. All they had to do was say, I renounce my faith in Jesus. Emperor is my Lord. It was all emperor worship then. All he had to do was just say, Rome is my kingdom, the emperor is my God, and renounce Jesus. That's all he had to do. But he said this, how can I blaspheme my King and Savior? I think I studied this stuff too long. You threaten me with a fire that burns for a season, and after a little while is quenched, but you are ignorant of the fire of everlasting punishment that is prepared for the wicked. And Polycarp was burned at the stake, and he was pierced with a spear because he wasn't burning. He wasn't burning up. Can you imagine? This guy doesn't burn. And they had to stab him to death to make sure he died. On his farewell, he said, I bless you, Father, for judging me worthy of this hour, so that in the company of the martyrs, I may share this cup of Christ. You know, they actually had to tell people, don't volunteer for martyrdom. Because if the Lord hasn't prepared you yet, when you get in front of the proconsul and they pressure you, you might renounce Christ. Because when you're ready, you will be ready. They would run into the lion den, run in there and say, you know, I want to be with Jesus even faster. Come on and get me. You know, Ignatius was just devoured. And they sent his hard pieces back to Antioch where he came from. You know, I hope this isn't too heavy, but you know, there's been a lot of bloodshed for Christ, and that's the body of Christ. You know, the blood of the saints is the seed of the church. And the fact that so many have given their lives is why you're standing here believing. I know it's Christ, but how did the message get to you? It's through the saints. It's through the blood of the saints. And people are still dying today to continue the good news. And so you say, what does that mean to me? What am I supposed to do about that? You know, why are you giving me all this information? Now you put me in a bummer mood. You know, well, when you think about what's been invested in your faith, not only the blood of Christ, but the body of Christ, so that you would believe. It's a precious blood. Precious is the Lord to the Lord is the death of his saints. Your faith came at a great cost from Jesus and his saints. And so maybe when we live this life down here and we consider how much was given to continue the good news of Jesus Christ, the amount of punishments, the amount of turmoil, the trials, and then we face something small in our life. You're thinking, you know, are you kidding me? This or lions? I can get through this. This is nothing. This or being burned alive? This is nothing. Because, you know, when we live in Christ, to die is gain. You know, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. We belong to the Lord. Whether I live for the Lord. Whether I die for the Lord. Whether I live or die, I belong to the Lord, Romans 14:8. You know, our faith came at a great cost. And you know, I just want to commit my life to receive that crown of life. We're going to have communion together as the band comes forward. And when we think about this time, it can become sometimes, unfortunately, sort of routine, you know? Yet this was his last night with his friends. And he was telling them, you know, no greater love than this, that you lay down your life for a friend. And in this country, we may never face during your lifetime the possibility of martyrdom in this country. But maybe a generation from now, whether it's Islam, whether it's liberalism, whatever the devil's using to come against the saints, he's going to have another tactic. But in the end, isn't it awesome to know that our inheritance is secure? Our future is secure in Jesus. Whatever happens down here, our future is always bright. And I believe, this sounds like a downer message, but it's not, because you know what? Someday this blip, this dash on the tombstone is just going to be, wow, it was nothing compared to my eternity with Christ. And so as the band sings, they're going to give out the bread and juice. And if we could take it together, I'll read after we all. You know, when we think about the crown, the same crown is referred to as the crown that Christ wore on the cross. But instead of a wreath of olives or bay leaves or pine or even celery they would wrap together, instead of something like that, they pressed into his scalp a crown of thorns, you know? And you know what thorns are a picture of? A fruitless life. Crowns are a picture of desolation. of snares. You ever try to walk through thorny bushes? You're not getting too far and it hurts, you know? It's a picture of snares. It's also a picture of foolishness. We've all been fools, haven't we? We've all been snared by the devil, haven't we? We've all been fruitless in our life. But Jesus said, I want to take all of that and wear that on my head for them so that they can wear my crown of life. If today you've never received Jesus, I'm telling you, man, it's time. Today is the day of salvation, right now. Now is the time of salvation. He's done it all for you, and he's offering himself to you right now. Will you receive him now? If you want to receive him right now, just stand up right where you are. Don't let anything, don't let thorns hold you back. Just stand up now and say, I want to receive Jesus today in Jesus' name. I know you're here. Don't let the enemy keep you down. Stand up today and receive him. Let's thank the Lord. If that's you today, you could just say something like this: Lord Jesus, I'm done with running. I want to give my life to you today. I want to be set free of the thorns. I want to receive the crown of life. I want to receive you. I want to receive eternity in heaven. Today, I make you my Lord and Savior. I believe you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for my sins. Today, I give you my life so I can receive yours. Fill me today with your Holy Spirit so I can live your life while on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. And Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and he said, for I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's eat. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. He died so you can live. Amen. Let's drink. Let's continue to worship.